You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to the action on New Year's Eve on this edition of the podcast. Sam Norris joined by Andrew Mount to run you through a couple of races from Uttoxeter and Lingfield on this edition. Warwick have also passed their inspection, so racing goes ahead there alongside Uttoxeter and Lingfield. Punchestown as well, they were inspecting at noon on Saturday at Warwick, but they've passed that inspection at least, so hopefully we'll have the three domestic meetings to bring you, as well as the Irish action in Punchestown as well. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio in the company of Dave Kellner, Ollie Pimlott and Tom Morley from around about 11:30 on New Year's Eve. But first things first, it's a very warm welcome to the podcast to Andrew Mount, and I was going to say season's greetings, but we're just getting out of season's greetings now, aren't we?
Getting back into them again with New Year's Eve, so...
Well, that's true.
I'd say season's greetings. We'll get away with it.
Yeah. Good Christmas, Andrew?
Not bad at all, thank you very much, and I didn't have much time off, as per usual. I was off on Christmas Eve, and that was it.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, much to the disgust of my other half.
I can imagine. At least it's not like last year where they put a Dundalk meeting on Christmas Eve.
That's true.
Indeed.
Small mercies.
It's been a little bit of a season where high-profile names have disappointed a little bit, Andrew, and none more so than Forheen, of course, yesterday. I feel a bit sorry for connections of Mick Jazz because no one's really talking about the winner of that Ryanair hurdle over at Leopardstown. But the big story is, one, the fact that Forheen disappointed, and two, the fact that as of yet they haven't found anything obviously wrong with the horse, which is a bit of a concern. Not that you ever wish for to be something wrong with the horse, but you want a reason for a performance like that.
That's right, and we get the bounce theory coming back as well, because obviously Forheen had been off the track for getting on for 2 years prior to that win over Jeske in Grade 1 company at Punchestown last month, and only had about 6 weeks to get over that. And it was never travelling from early stage, and was soon pulled up. So, I mean, it's possible we'll never see him on a race course again. He might be retired. He might be back and back to his brilliant best next time out, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, very possible that's the last time we've seen him. But of course, you wouldn't be that surprised if he turned up at a big price and won the champion hurdle in March.
No, that's it. So it's the perils of anti-post betting, isn't it? You know, one minute he's a 2-1 shot, the next minute he's 25-1, and who knows what price he'll be on the day if indeed he turns up.
He's not the only high-profile horse to disappoint over the Christmas period, particularly at Leopardstown. We saw a bit of a lacklustre run from both sides in John and York Hill in the race that was formerly known as the Lexus, Andrew, and again, those two just neither travelling with their usual zest.
Yeah, it was a funny old race, that one. I ended up starting with Outlander, who goes really well at this time of year on deep ground, finished third at 16-1, but was beaten by two of the other Jigginstown runners, Road to Respect and Balco de Floss, the latter a 66-1 shot. But yes, I mean, sizing John again, I don't think... They talked about hypothermia and then overheating. So
yes,
that was an interesting one, something I'd never heard of before. So it'll be fascinating to see how he runs next time out. And York Hill was very disappointing as well, starting as the 7-2 second favourite, finishing 59 lengths back in eighth. Now, just looking at his chase record, he's never won a chase in a big field. And that was the first time he's encountered a double-digit lineup over the larger obstacles. So you just wonder if he's going to turn out to be a small field merchant or whether he just needs to come back in trip. And it was the 3 miles that beat him.
Yeah, well, that's what it seemed to me. And given the intricacies and the quirks of the horse, would a shorter trip, more fences in quicker succession give him more to think about and perhaps play to his strengths in that respect as well? He may not have the stamina for 3 miles anyway, but would those quirks be ironed out a little bit if he was going over two?
Yeah, very possibly. And it's the ground as well. I mean, you look at his victory over Yanworth in the Neptune in 2016. It was unofficially good ground. Now, he has won on soft and heavy, but it's often been when he's been long odds on against much weaker opposition. Mm. So in a true championship contest, maybe the soft ground, the 3 mile trip, and the big field, or a combination of those, or any one of them, beat him this week. So I'd certainly forgive that and expect we'll see a different horse next time out.
Yeah, it certainly serves up more questions than it has answered, the festive racing. Certainly looking ahead to the rest of the season anyway. We're going to look ahead to the action now on Sunday. We've got a couple of races picked out, which Andrew's going to preview, beginning at Uttoxeter with the 2.25, a novices limited handicap chase on the way here over 2.5 miles. Just filled a five lining up here. But a few of these, in fact, the majority of them, non-complete last time out, Andrew.
Well, that's what makes this particularly interesting. You've got a five-runner handicap chase, and you've got last time out figures of Fell, unseated rider, Fell, second and third. Now, it's one of those who completed last time out who I'm going to side with, and that's No Dice. Now, he's making his reappearance after a break of 285 days, and is also having his first start for Fergal O'Brien. And that's the angle in here. Really, because Fergal O'Brien does well with his switches, horses he takes over from other yards. And if you only bet these over fences, 11 winners from 30 runners, 37% strike rate, and a profit of £46.88 to a £1 level stake. So that's certainly a decent angle. And this one was last seen when running third at Clonmel last season, when with Tony Martin. And it's basically sort of in a weaker race here. And for a yard that does well with new acquisitions, I think that No Dice against some occasionally suspect jumpers could be the value in the race.
No Dice the choice then for Fergal O'Brien and Paddy Brennan in that 2.25 race at Uttoxeter. Over to Lingfield then for the 2.50 now, which is Division 2 of a sprint handicap over 6 furlongs. This is more the kind of race I thought you'd select, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an obvious race to go for a Class 6 handicap. But there's one I want to take on at a very short, what was likely to be a short price here, which is Haraz, trained by Jamie Osborne. Now, this one's a 32 race maiden. Now, he's going to be there or thereabouts. His last three runs, second, third, third, including a third over 7 furlongs here at Lingfield last time out. But he's always, so far he's always found one or two to beat him. And although he's well drawn in stall two, I think that could be the case again. Billy Oaks is quite interesting, but stall 9's not ideal. He did manage to overcome a wide stall here at Lingfield last time out under a good Luke Morris ride, coming out of stall 8 and getting across. But this time he's probably going to get taken on for the lead, so from stall 9 he might be trapped out a little wide. Now, you look at the previous winners of this race, 8 of the last 9 were drawn 4 or lower. So I'm going to take a chance on Forever Yours from stall 1, trained by informed Dean Ivory. This is another maiden. This time only a 10-race maiden, so compares favourably to Hackham's 0-32 record. And he was well beaten at Chelmsford last time out, but he was back that day. And they went off too hard. They set the race up for the finishers. And he was drawn out wide in stall 12, did far too much too early over a 7-furlong trip. So he was a qualifier on my Chelmsford flop system.
I was just about to say, was he sufficiently short to become a qualifier? Short enough to
That's right, he was an 8-1 shot in a field of 13. And the last time he ran over a sprint trip, he ran a good race at Windsor in the summer, finishing fourth and doing second best of those who came from off the pace. As I say, the odds in good form. He's perfectly drawn in stall one. He's got enough tactical speed to track the pace, and he should be an each-way price as well.
Okay, yeah, good stuff. Andrew's fancying that one then at Lingfield. Just remind us quickly of your two plays then on New Year's Eve to try and end the year with a couple of winners.
The 2.25 at Uttoxeter, I'm with No Dice on his first start for Fergal O'Brien, and the 2.50 at Lingfield at what will hopefully be an each-way price, Forever Yours.
Thank you very much. Andrew's thoughts on the action coming up on New Year's Eve. You can hear it all on Racing Radio as well with Dave Kellner, Tom Morley and Ollie Pimnott in the studio. Thanks for that, Andrew, and best of luck.
Thanks very much, Sam. Happy New Year.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.